الحمد لله الحمد لله العليم القدير العلي الخبير لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع البصير نحمده تعالى على نعمه وآلائه ونشكره تعالى على أفضاله وعطائه وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له أبان الحلال والحرام وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله خير من بين طرق الرشاد من الضلال ودعا إلى حفظ الأعراض والأموال فاللهم صل وسلم وبارك على حبيبنا ونبينا وشفيعنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وسلم عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله Infinite praise and glory is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from whom nothing is hidden on the worlds. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallama, who came to guide us towards the straight path and to teach us the difference between halal and haram and to show us the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his abundant peace and blessings upon our noble messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and upon his family and upon the righteous companions and all of those who follow sincerely in the footsteps of Islam until the day of Qiyamah. Alhamdulillah, on this sacred and blessed day of Jumu'ah, we have been given this opportunity by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to come towards khair, to come towards barakah, to come towards success and salvation. And for those of us who pay heed to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the commands of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallama will undoubtedly find success in this dunya and also in the hereafter. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our sincere intentions, accept our efforts, accept this day and this moment and make it a means for our salvation in this dunya and also in the hereafter. The world that we are living in currently is considered to be the most technological advanced world, century at this moment in time. And we are living in the most advanced civilization with technology, with medicine and various other things that we have achieved as a civilization at this moment in time. But at the same time, it's something that we need to reflect upon and ask ourselves, are we truly succeeding or are we actually leading ourselves towards a very, very dangerous place, towards the abyss, towards a dark place which takes us away from the mercy, the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inshallah al-aziz, we'll discuss this today on Jumu'ah, on how successful our lives are and how successful this civilization and this century is and how we can be successful and to maintain our success of the body as well as the soul of the deen and the dunya and to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the correct manner. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam in Sahih al-Bukhari mentions a very, very beautiful hadith from which we will begin our discussion. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned that by Allah, taking an oath a qasam by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that by Allah I am not afraid that you will become poor. So this is something, a very, very categorical statement from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he doesn't fear that we'll become poor people in this dunya. But rather, I am afraid that the worldly wealth will be given to you in abundance as it was given to those before you. And if we see at the beginning of Islam, majority of the Muslims were very, very poor. They didn't have much. But as the Islam grew, as the civilization became stronger, Muslims became more and more powerful and more affluent. But the Prophet ﷺ in this particular hadith is talking about the future, talking about our nation, this civilization, and the centuries that will come in front of us. So the civilization after the Messenger ﷺ, he was fearful for them that they will be given so much wealth that they will start competing with each other as the previous nations used to compete with each other in wealth. And as a result of that competition, as a result of that accumulation of wealth and the pursuance of wealth, people will become diverted as the previous nations became diverted. And you know that when you are in a cycle of earning more and gaining more and earning more power and more wealth, then it diverts you away from your family, from your children, from your loved ones. More importantly, it diverts you away from the remembrance and shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this hadith, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is telling us, foretelling us about the future, that he doesn't fear that we will become poor, but rather we will be given so much wealth that we will be start competing with one another, and we will become diverted from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you just reflect on our fathers and forefathers who came to this country or other countries, when they came, they had nothing. And even in our home countries, we had nothing. But now, if you look at two generations or three generations on, alhamdulillah, we have so much wealth. We have properties abroad. We have properties here in the UK. We have so much wealth and cars, the latest gadgets and gizmos and everything else. Alhamdulillah, this is a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, it is a huge test to see whether we allow this wealth and the accumulation of the dunya to divert us, or to take us towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the difference between the Sahaba ikram and us. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam took those very, very rich Sahaba ikram who were very, very affluent and powerful and successful in their businesses, but he took their wealth and used it for the community, used it for the civilization to alleviate their poverty and their suffering, and did not allow their wealth to consume them, but rather keep them on the track of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this day and age, in the 21st century, in 2019, we see that wealth is absolutely abundant. It's everywhere. The things that our children have, we could never dream of having those things. It's everywhere that you look. And one of the reasons for that is because wealth has become so accessible for those who are working, and for those people who are not even working as well. You see loan companies everywhere, left, right and center, on the radios, in the TV, in the media, everywhere they're saying, come and borrow from us, come and borrow from us. And they make it very, very attractive. You have finance companies left, right and center. People are buying more and more things on credit cards. They buy on one credit card and then they take another credit card to pay off the first credit card and then the second and the third, and the vicious cycle continues. And we are borrowing more and more and more. We are borrowing for personal loans, we are borrowing for mortgages, and also we are delving into the very, very grave and dangerous zone of taking interest, of giving interest. All of these things are very, very important. And the reason why we need to discuss this today is because we have stopped living within our means. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam lived within his capacity. The Sahaba ikram lived within their capacities. Whatever more they accumulated, they did not just spend it on themselves, but rather they spent it in the community for those people that were in need. But now in this day and age, we have so much greed and so much desire that we want more and more and more. The latest fashion, the latest gadgets, the latest cars, the biggest properties, the best of everything. And we are starting to live outside of our means. And as a result of that, we are slipping into the forbidden of living in indulgence and living in excess, and having israf, extravagant, within our lives. You only need to look at weddings, you only need to look at particular events, and on average you are spending 15 to 20 grand on a wedding and nobody flinches an eye or bats an eyelid. It doesn't matter. 20 grand is nothing. Buying a new car for 30, 40 grand is nothing. Doing all of these things is considered to be trivial and insignificant in this day and age. But due to this abundance and this extravagance and indulgence, we are also failing to see the interest that comes with all of these loans, with all of these credit cards, with all of these finance companies as well. And this interest will be the means towards our destruction, not only in this dunya but also in the hereafter. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned he cursed the one who consumes riba, and riba is interest. And everybody knows exactly what interest is. That you say that you want £10 off somebody and they say, fine, I'll give you £10, but I will charge you interest and you give me £12 back, or you give me £15 back. And the same is applied to a loan, same is applied to a mortgage or anything else, where you take like for like and you end up giving more back in return. You know exactly, understand what is riba. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, cursed is the one who consumes riba, who takes the riba from another individual and then consumes it, spends it on himself, and the one who pays it as well, and the one who writes it down, i.e. the contract, all of the conditions and stipulations, and also those who witness it is as well. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam carried on to say that they are all the same. Those who consume it, those who pay it, those who write it down, and those who witness it as well. And this is something that we take very, very lightly in this day and age. It doesn't matter, let's go get a loan. Let's go online and apply for a loan. Let's go borrow from the bank. Let's live outside of our means. But no, our deen is living within our means. Whatever you have been given, you need to live within that in a halal manner, in a good manner, in a befitting manner, which takes you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas when you take interest and you consume interest, or you give interest, then you will be in a never-ending vicious cycle that will lead you towards your destruction in this dunya and also in the hereafter. And this is why the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentions, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٍ, that there will come a time upon people, لَا يُبَالِ الْمِرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْ, that a person will not care whatsoever regarding wherever they take their wealth from. أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمِنَ الْحَرَامِ. They won't care, it doesn't matter. As long as they get the money, whether it's from a shark loan, whether it's from a finance company, whether it's from a bank, whether it's from a mortgage, whether it's from any person or a credit card, they won't care whether it's through the halal means or the haram means. They'll just want to take that wealth, to take that and consume that wealth and to use it upon themselves. This is the time that we are living in this day and age, where our children, when they are taking cars out on finance, they know that they are paying interest. When our children, when they are taking loans from banks and mortgage companies and finance companies, they know that they will be giving interest and paying interest, but they don't care. And this is the zaman, this is the time the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam foretold, that people will not care about the halal or the haram. And this is a very, very dangerous thing, because the halal keeps you in the green and the haram takes you towards the red. The halal keeps you within the barakah and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the haram and the interest takes you away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we need to really reflect upon, that where are we going? How successful are we? What is the civilization that we are living in? And are we truly, truly the most advanced civilization in this century? Or are we losing ourselves? In the Quran, if you see, zina has a punishment. The Quran is very, very clear that if a person commits fornication, if a person commits adultery, then this is the saza. This is the punishment for them, of whether you whip them or you lash them or you stone them. This is a punishment mentioned there in the Quran. Similarly, for the alcohol, for the consumption of alcohol, there is punishment there for people who consume alcohol, and various other things as well. For theft, you know the punishment for theft. For backbiting, you know the punishment for backbiting as well. For false accusation, various things which are grave within the Quran, things which are abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grave sins, all of the punishments there are mentioned in the Quran. You do this, this is your physical punishment. This is what you will receive in response. But when it comes to riba, when it comes to interest, the entire tone of the Quran, the approach of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completely changes. Completely changes when it comes to the interest on topics of finance. Specifically when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, فَإِن لَمْ تَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, that if you do not desist from dealing in riba. If you continue to give and to take and to witness and to write down all of these contracts and giving and taking riba, if you do not desist, if you do not stop in taking interest, in taking usury, then take a notice of war from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. فَأْزَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. In other verses, you do this bad thing, yes, it's very bad. You will get a punishment for that. But when you are taking or giving interest or writing down interest and things, then you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So ask yourselves, how can you ever succeed in your life when your opponent is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam? Who do you think will succeed in that war? Who will win the war? Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. So who are you deluding? You're only deluding yourself. For what? For one day, for one week, for one year, for one month, for 10 years, for 50 years? You think you can just take it and consume it and you can do tawbah istighfar and get away with it? No. You will be constantly at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to you taking that interest. So the time that we are living in is very, very dangerous time, and especially our youngsters and our elders as well, they need to reflect on how they are living their lives. Are they living their lives within their means, or are they living outside of their means? I think No. Whether you ask for it or not, you can tell the bank that you no longer want that interest. You can change your bank, you can change your account, and you can say you no longer want it. You can not go and get those loans. You can rent for the rest of your life. People are under this illusion that you have to have this ownership. This was drilled into us by the Labour Party many, many years ago. Home ownership. But if you look at Europe and various other places in the world, they don't have this frenzy and this urge and this desire to have this home ownership. They live and they rent for the majority of their lives. So even if you don't own your property, so what? Would you rather leave this dunya with a clean heart, with a clean slate? Or would you rather leave this dunya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam at war with you due to that interest, that loan, that finance that you took out and you knew that you were paying or you were giving interest? This is the question that you have to ask yourself. How will you return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the prohibition of riba, of interest, is clearly there within the Qur'an. And we know the result and the ramifications of you taking or giving interest. And it is there to prevent the exploitation on a micro and a macro level. Is to prevent people taking advantage of those people who are desperate, who are in need, to not allow them to be abused in any particular way on an individual level, but at the same time to prevent the abuse of a community, of a country. And this is exactly what's happening, that now individuals and entire countries are chained to other banks, that they owe this amount of money to this particular bank, this person owes this amount of money, this community, this council, this country owes X amount. You owe so much in your student loans, you owe so much in your car loans, you owe so much in your home loans, and you, for 20 years perhaps, you're only paying off the interest. You actually haven't even touched the real amount that you borrowed from them. And as a result of that, you are shackled in this chain of slavery, in this chain of you being under and then being over you. The world banks and the monetary funds are giving out billions and billions and trillions, and countries, our home country Pakistan, other countries are in debt. This very country, which is our country, also is in debt, a huge amount of debt. Europe is in debt, America is in debt. Why? Because they are living outside of their means, and not only are they living, but they're buying and they're borrowing, and they're also accumulating that interest and not being able to pay that off, and more and more and more as a result ensues. And all of these people will face destruction in the dunya. But for us, not only will we face destruction in the dunya, but more importantly, we'll face that destruction in the hereafter, because we are at war. We're engaging in war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. The current UK debt is at £4.8 trillion. Not a small amount. We just worry about 1,000, 2,000, 100,000, a million if you're you know, advantageous. But £4.8 trillion is the UK national debt, including all of the pensions, the state pensions and the private pensions as well. This is the national debt of the UK. Every taxpayer who works and, you know, pays their tax currently owes £61,667. So before you've even taken out a loan, this is how much you, as a citizen, as an individual, already owe this country. This is how much you are in debt. £61,667. America, the US, is in debt of $20 trillion. Over $80,000 each individual citizen owes. This is how much debt they are in. Why? Because they're living outside of their means. And they know when they take these loans and they are borrowing, they're also paying back interest at 10% or 15%, 1,000%. You know all of these loans and these companies that are taking place. So via interest, entire countries, entire continents, their citizens are kept chained to the ultra rich. So the rich become richer and they become more powerful and they dictate the terms and conditions that they have given so much amount of money to Pakistan. And they will say, this is how you react. This is how you behave. This is the law that you pass. Why? Because you owe us. These are the conditions that you follow because you owe us X amount of money. So not just individuals, but entire countries as a result become enslaved. You might think that we are living in a free world, in a modern world where there is no slavery, but all of us, countries, entire countries and continents are slaves to the ultra rich, are slaves to the oligarchy, are slaves to these banks, to these loan companies. Why? Because this is what they are doing. So this is a great zulm on an individual level, on a micro level, and also on a macro level, a great zulm on the entire humanity. And all of this comes at a cost. Don't just think that you will borrow and you will pay back and that's it. Allah, Allah, khair, salah, and nobody needs to know, and you'll pay it back within your life, and hopefully you won't die or any of these things. There is a huge physical cost. There is a huge spiritual cost to those people who are partaking in interest, giving interest, taking interest, writing down these contracts, working in all of these institutions. There's a huge, huge cost that they will come to them. The first casualty and the first cost is the state of their heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your iman is in within your heart. The purity and the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is within your heart. The majesty and the beauty of the Quran is within your heart. The majesty and the beauty of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam is in your heart. All of that is pure. Whereas interest is impure. That is haram. That is zulm. That is a darkness. So just like your physical heart, when you eat the wrong things, when you eat the wrong burgers and eat the wrong chickens and eat the wrong doners, and you continue to eat that, it will block your arteries, it will affect your mind, it will affect your body, it will affect the balance of who you are. Similarly, when you take interest and when you give interest and you engage in all of these things, no matter how ridiculous you may make it sound, or no, I went to an Islamic bank. There's no such thing as Islamic banks giving you interest-free loans. They just change the wording. The packaging is different, but internally everything is the same. So even that is just a delusion. So when you are taking and giving this, then you are affecting the most primary organ within your heart. And if this is sound, then everything else is sound. But if this is corrupted, then your entire body will be corrupted. Why? Because this is the center and the source of the barakah and the place of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the place of Islam and the place of the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. As a result, you will fail to taste the sweetness of your deen. You will fail to benefit from advice. Why is it that people come to Jum'ah, people come to Majalis, people come and they pray, yet their adat, i.e. their habits, their characteristics and their behavior doesn't change? Why? Because their heart, the source of everything, that is corrupted. That is impure, and there's something wrong going on in there. No matter how much you shout at your child, you may be able to physically change their behavior, but if you don't touch your child's heart, and if you don't interact with them and connect with them within their heart, then their behavior and their habits won't change. So until your heart is not pure and does not receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how will you ever taste the sweetness of faith? But it doesn't change our behavior. We want to read the Quran, but we don't have that palpitation within our heart or our tongue. That kayfiyah doesn't change. When the Quran was recited by the Sahaba Ikram, or was revealed unto the Sahaba Ikram, their hearts would move. You know, they would get goosebumps. They would tremble under the majesty of the Quran. We listen and read the Quran, it doesn't affect us. Itu ayat, itu ya. Similarly, we read the salah bang our heads and that's it, we're back to our normal things. Why? Because within our salah, within our dua, within our ibadat, that mercy, that kindness, that rahmah, that barakah, all of that which is within their heart is being removed. Why? Because you have placed something else of darkness, of impurity within your heart, which is you taking interest, you giving interest, and you living your life thinking it doesn't affect you and you can pay it off and it's fine. This is just the way that the world works. But no, there are people at this very moment in time who are renting and they'll rent for the rest of their lives and they don't have to get a mortgage. There are people who are living within their means and they don't have to get loans and mortgages from companies. There are people who are living within their means and you can live within your means. It's not necessary for you to have this ownership for you to feel secure. What ownership do you have? After 80 years, 90 years, you will die. That will transfer onto somebody else. But who has true ownership? لِمَنِ الْمُلْكُ الْيَوْمِ is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِلَّهِ الْوَاحِدِ الْقَهَارِ, who has true ownership. So as a result, your heart will only become harder and harder, and these things of salah, of ibadah, the lazza, the mazza, the shawq, all of that will not benefit you, and you will not truly get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second cost of you engaging and giving and taking interest is that your sadaqah will not benefit you. Sadaqah removes the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sadaqah removes the difficulties within your life. Sadaqah brings you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But by you giving and taking interest and mixing your halal wealth with haram, then your sadaqah and any charity that you give out will not come to your benefit, neither in this dunya and neither in the hereafter. The Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam mentioned, whoever accumulates prohibited wealth then gives out charity from it will not be rewarded for it and will have to bear the consequences of it. So this is something else that will occur when you engage in this thing and you think that you need to do this. You don't need to do those things. You can live within your means. You can keep away from interest. You can borrow, you can rent, borrow from your family, borrow from your friends, get qarz-e hasana, or live your life and rent. You don't have to own, you don't have to do so many things. And if you can't, then avoid all of these things and minimize your life, live a simple life. Otherwise, remember, فَأَزَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. By taking interest and engaging in interest, you are at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. This is something that we really need to discuss and touch upon. Sufyan al-Thawri mentions that whoever spends prohibited wealth in avenues of goodness, thinking, oh, chalo, chalke kamai de rahe, is just a person who cleans his clothes with urine. How can that urine purify his clothes? It can't. Clothes cannot be purified with anything but water, and sins cannot be erased with anything but the halal. So if you want to give out in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to make sure you're earning halal, you're in the right industry, you're in the right organization, and you're earning in the halal manner, and you're spending on yourself and on your family in the halal way, and you're spending in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the halal way, if you want your sins to be erased, if you want to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the result of you taking interest, taking haram, is that your du'as that you do will not be accepted. They will not even reach the sky. They will not even get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our dua is the strongest connection and means that we have. A direct connection between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is via our dua. When we do sajda, when we raise our hands, when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that rope, that connection, that means will be severed. Why? Because you are engaging in that interest, in that haram. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want anything to do with you. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam gives a simple yet beautiful example that a man, having journeyed very, very far, is disheveled and dusty and spreads out his hands to the sky in dua, saying, "Oh my Lord, oh my Lord," whilst his food is haram, his drink is haram, his clothing is haram, and he has been nourished with haram. How can his dua ever be answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? When you travel, we know that the person who does traveling, their du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are humble and you live a simple life, your du'as are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you spread out your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala never returns them empty. When you say, oh my Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always responds. But when your rizq, when your sustenance, when your provisions, when your life is all based on haram, then all of these things are rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has nothing to do with you. And therefore our du'as will not be accepted. Why is so much zulm happening in the world at this day and age? There are lots and lots of people doing du'a. We do du'a again and again. But why? is our dua not being accepted? Perhaps this is one of the things why our du'as are not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu ta'ala, and his du'a was always accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sahaba ikram, they would ask him and inquire, why is it that your du'as always go answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? They are never left unanswered. Your du'as always come to fruition. And he replies that I have not raised a bit of food to my mouth without having the knowledge of the details of where it was sourced. I've never consumed anything haram. I've always consumed halal, drank halal, ate halal, consumed halal, and I've always made sure that it's come from the halal source. And as a result of that, my du'as have never been rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are more casualties as a result of the interest that we engage in the riba. Your worship, your salah that you do, your hajj, your sawm, your zakat, will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That interest that you are giving or you are taking, you are engaging in, and the hajj that you do with that money, or the mixed money and the mixed wealth that you do, or the salah, all of those things, that the money that you pay for your water bill, for your gas bill, and with that water and gas bill you do your wudu and you pray your salah, do you think it's going to be accepted? Similarly, your sawm and your zakat, all of these things will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it's been tainted, it has not been purified in the correct manner. Your barakah within your home, they come to imams and maulvis and sheikhs, bachche gal nahi sunte ji, koi phuka maro, koi taweez dio. There's no barakah in our life, in our wealth, in our money. Barakat nahi andi zindagi. Why? The family will, all the barakah from the family will go. The barakah from the children will go. The barakah from your life, from your health, from your wealth, from the hours, everything will go. Why? Because of you engaging in war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Not my words. فَأْزَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. If you do not stop engaging in interest in usury, then engage in a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Messenger alayhi wa sallam. Your safety in your grave will also be there as well. That there will be no safety for you in your grave. Because of your interest, that interest will consume you, will envelop you within your grave and destroy you. And your home in Jannah, forget your home in Jannah as a result of you trying to make a home here in the dunya. So live a simple life, live an honorable life. The halal is clear, the haram is clear as well. Whatever is doubtful, you should avoid all of those doubtful things and remain in the green. Do not engage directly or indirectly within interest with all of these things. Otherwise, all of these things that we have mentioned, it will come at a great cost for you in this dunya and a great cost for you in the hereafter. So whilst we may be living in the most technological advanced civilization here on earth in this century, we have to ask ourselves, are we going towards success or are we going towards our own destruction? So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all from riba, protect us all from all of the muharramat, and enable us all to remain within the halal and avoid the harams. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ جِزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا